So this last month, we've been studying a particular book of the Bible. Those of you, some of you might remember, who remembers what book we studied? What book have we been spending the most time in this last month? Mark. Okay, I didn't see that at first. I heard her, at least I've heard her the most. So, Gospel Mark, and we know that Gospel Mark was actually Peter's account. Mark wrote it down for him. We took a look at Jesus feeding the multitudes. How many times did Jesus actually have the miracle of feeding people with just a little bit of food?
Twice.
Three.
It's three times, yeah. Jerry, you want a reason or weathers? Oh, who said? Somebody said three. Michelle, I'm sorry. Cool. Yeah, there's three times. There was twice with large groups, and then once with the disciples and a small group that remained with them. They just had a little bit of bread on the boat. That was the third time. You know, I read from you this morning from Mark 1 through 25. The account of the soils appears in more than one gospel. But here in a little bit, we're going to take a look at the last group of scriptures that only appears Gospel of Mark. So we've been hitting those this last month. We've taken a look at a different piece of scripture that's only in Mark versus all the other ones. But the parable of the four soils appears in more than one gospel. You know, it appears across Luke and in Matthew. You don't see it in John because, like we talked before, John was written off of a different set of manuscripts, whereas Matthew and Luke were written off of Mark, plus one other. So, there are four soils that get talked about first in what we've read. Four different types. I'll ask it this right here. So if there are four different types of soils, and it's a parable, what do the soils really represent? Okay, personalities, that would be one thing. What else? The hearts of people.
Wow, okay.
That's what we were looking for. Yeah. It's the heart. Is the heart ready to receive the word? That would be like a reason for a word. So yeah, the state of the readiness of the heart to receive the word. And there were four types. Now, in this last couple weeks, we've taken a look at the disciples. And we've also taken a look at Jesus' family. What are some examples of these four types of soils of how the disciples or Jesus' family handled things in this last month? What was that, Bertha? Yeah. The stony ground, right? So in the stony ground, what happens with the seed? It grows a little bit, but then it dies out because it doesn't have a deep root, right? So Jesus kept over and over and over trying to explain to them who he was through these miracles. And they didn't get it. It took more than one time. So because of that, they were a good representation of the parable with the stones. What about Jesus' family? What do you think they were like? The thorny ground. Right. Why were they like the thorny ground?
Because when the world got around and choked down the truth.
Right. Because they were okay with the idea of Jesus being out there and helping people and doing miracles when it brought fortune and fame to their family. But when he started pushing against the status quo, when he started upsetting the religious powers to be, then what did they want to do with Jesus? Put him away, right? We're gonna get another idea. I got a whole pack today. This is how we get you guys answering questions. This is what we'll keep doing. So they wanted to put him away. Jesus' own family, his mother, his brothers, they all wanted to put him away because you're crazy, Jesus. You can't be saying these things, right? So we have some examples of these soils just from even the people closest to Jesus. You know, we tend to think of the disciples and his family higher than they were. They were people just like us. And of the types of soils, three of them are not good for producing from the Word. We see examples amongst them. So let's go to Mark 4:24 for just a second. Now he says, "Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use it, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given." What's he meaning by that? What's that mean to you? Okay, so let's go right back one more verse in the verse 23. He's talking to his disciples and the like about some parables, and he says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. And then immediately after that, he says to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use it, will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. What do you think he's talking about there?
In one ear, not the other.
Okay. So he's talking to the population in parables, but some, unless they hear, or unless they see, they do not perceive. Well, but this particular group he's given more explanation to. He's kind of given the hints behind the parables. Why is he giving them a warning to be careful what they hear, though? Yeah, you need to test the word to see if it's true. So, if he's given them an understanding of the parables, she's saying, now listen, I'm going to explain these to you. What they mean. Pay attention. Be careful with that knowledge. And it tells you to be careful with that knowledge because the more that you understand of the Word, the more it's going to be revealed to you. Right? Now, there's been some times when we took a look at some Word in here. We took a look at maybe, let's take Book of Revelation. Now, I'll give you an example of this in practice. Up until that sermon, how many of you knew and understood what the great feast was going to be? You've heard it over and over and over that there would be a great wedding feast prepared for the bride. And we had an understanding that, oh, well, we're the bride for Christ. And that feast is going to be there when we're reunited with Christ in the end days. We had that bit of understanding. We heard, but we didn't really hear it all yet. And as we studied more in the Word, what that feast really was, the warning makes a little bit more sense. Be careful on what you hear. Because as you hear more, you're going to be given more. And when we're given more insight by looking at the Scriptures on what the feast was. And what was the feast? It was the slaughter of all of the enemies of the Lord. And all of us that have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior will partake in that last battle, the killing fields. And the birds will feast on the flesh of all of the enemies of the Lord. So there's, as you learn more of the Word, you're opened up a little bit more to the not so Sunday school version. Same thing with Jesus' parents. They were willing to do with Jesus. So when he's telling his disciples, be careful with what you hear because there's going to be more. As you understand the Word, you understand more and you go to that next level. And it sinks in. And some of it sinks in with such profound awesomeness
Oh, I just realized just how wonderful the Lord is. And another part of it sinks in sometimes of just how depraved we are. Just realize how lost man is. Verse 26. Now this parable only appears in Mark. And this is the last group of scriptures that we're going to be looking at that only appear in the Gospel of Mark. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. So, before we get much further into this, Jesus has already talked about one sower and the different soils that can receive the seed. The state of the heart. As the word is given out there, your state of your heart, how open your heart is to the word will make a difference on how well that word takes heart and grows. Now in this situation, he's talking about the kingdom of God. As if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Yes, sir. So that is a different parable. That's in Matthew and that's in Luke. That isn't in Mark. That's not this particular one. But that is another parable of the sorts. It does. It does sound a lot about like it. So now this sower scatters seeds across the ground. Just throws them out there. Some things we can notice about this is when Jesus talks about himself, in the Bible, we tend to get some clues sometimes in the text itself. Some of the clues we get are in the capitalization of some of the pronouns. He, etc. The Word, when we're talking about Jesus as the Word, we'll see the Word is in capitalization. In this particular parable, we have he said, which is Jesus saying, he is in capitalized. The kingdom of God, God is in capitalized. It's as if a man, lowercase, should scatter the seed on the ground. Who is scattering this seed in this parable before we get too much further into it? Right, could be anyone. Anyone given the message to go out, the word to go out and deliver to people. You know, today we're scattering seed on the ground. Just by studying the word and talking about the word. We're throwing it out there. I don't know where it's going to take you. Right? I don't know the stage of your heart. God does. But I don't. But I still throw it out there, right? And as we talk, as we discuss the word, maybe we'll see how well it's sticking. So the word gets tossed out there. You know, before I leave this idea, it's not just somebody behind a pulpit that can scatter the word. You can scatter the word in your day-to-day talks with other people. With just a show of hands, how many of you at least have one verse of the Bible memorized? Yeah, you'd be able to, at some point, recall one verse of the Bible, right? At least one. Now, odds are, you're not only going to get that one situation every day in your life. That one scripture that you may have memorized or so might not be the one that pertains to the situation that you're trying to help somebody with. Does that mean we got to memorize all of the Bible so we're ready for all of it?
No, because no one has that much memory span.
Yeah, that'd be pretty hard, wouldn't it? You know, we used to have to do that. That's what the priests would have to do. They would have to memorize the scripture. and they would recount it on the Sabbath. They take turns recounting the scripture, from reading from the scrolls to recounting itself. They would have to memorize. Let's go to 2 Corinthians real quick. Go ahead and link your place or some sort of marker and mark, because we will come back. Let's go to 2 Corinthians for just a second. Chapter 3, verse 4. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. But our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, that the Spirit gives life. Now, what did you hear in that? Anyone? You can look over it again if you like. I have no problem. So let's break it down and start at the beginning with it. And as such trust through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. In other words, you yourself, you can memorize the whole Bible and be able to quote things off the top of your head. But when you're being a minister for God, it shouldn't be of what you remember, you know, what you're able to quote of ourselves. Yeah. It's what God wants us to say at that time, right? So, and God gives us what we need to be sufficient as ministers, right? Because what does it say? Because it's, is it to be to the letter? Is God going to give us the scripture to the letter? No. Because why not? Why not give us the scripture to the letter? Why can't I quote John 1:1 to the letter to somebody new? Or John, they won't understand it. They won't hear. Right. They won't. Exactly. Because each individual person is in the middle of a problem. They're in the middle of some crisis in their life. Whether it be the crisis that they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, or maybe they're struggling with next week's deal. But there is a personal thing working in our heart at that point. Now the Word, if we were just to quote the Word, we come off as robots. We lose that personal experience. Yeah, we can read it to the letter. But the letter does what?
It makes everyone feel condemned and not open.
Right. And these scriptures say the letter kills. Because condemnation is a killer. And if you go to the letter, it kills. Now, not only does it make them feel condemned right there, but sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to condemn and convict. But that's not always the case. It also kills that relationship you have with that other person. When you start talking to them like a robot, somebody who can just repeat a whole bunch of words to the letter, you lose that relationship with that person. So what are we supposed to do instead? What is it? What is better than the letter? The Spirit. Right. Because the Holy Spirit's working in you and it's working in them. It knows what they need to hear. Exactly. When you turn yourself over to be a servant, you turn yourself over to someone who already knows the plan. You know, I could go off and start grabbing a bunch of pieces of wood and hammer it together and hope that I come up with something. that resembles a building. Or I could have a plan. Well, God already has the plan. He gives us a little bit of the job to do. So it's the spirit, not the letter, that's important here. So when we're talking about scattering the seed, we're not talking about going around just quoting scripture to the air. Because we want them to hear, not just for us to say something, but for them to hear it. And we want them to understand it and take it to heart. Because if they hear, more will begin into them. And they'll hear more. Mark 4:27. And should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, he himself does not know how. Just like what you're saying. If I'm told to lift my leg, I don't know why I'm told to lift my leg, but I'm told to lift my leg. I don't know how that's going to make a difference.
But you're not supposed to.
As we go to sleep by day, we don't know how this takes root. But when we're working in the Spirit, when we're letting the Spirit lead us in that conversation, we shouldn't be worried about that. We're scattered. Now in our first parable that we read, as the seed was scattered about the earth, does it say that the sower looked for the good ground and went, ha, wow? No, he put it out there everywhere, right? Everywhere. So just like with us, sometimes we've got that word, and we look out there and we go, oh, this person's stony ground. I'm not even going to fall. You're going to find yourself doing that. I know I have. Yeah, exactly. Here, we make that call. That's not our job. We're not being obedient. But we do it, don't we? Sometimes we'll go, that person's got so much in their lives right now. This is... They ain't even gonna hear what I'm saying. It's gonna be snatched up just like that. Why would I waste my breath? Now Christ had those same sort of opportunities. Heck, his disciples, he had to show he could feed people 3 times. Not like months apart. This was back to back to back. They hadn't even moved that far away from the first time when the second one hit. It was the same group of people. The same multitude followed them into a forest from where they were. Maybe this time they'll get it. We'll toss it out there again. Hopefully it won't be stony. We're still going to toss it out there. You know, the sower in verse 27 sleeps by day. I'm sorry, sleeps by night. Rises by day. It's not to concern himself with the how. You toss that word out there. Hope that it grows root. Pray that it grows root. Pray that it takes a hold of their heart, that they hear it. Not that they just saw your mouth move. They saw what you say, but they hear it. Hear it inside. You can pray for that. Pray for it. But don't worry about it. Because it says the sower sleeps by night, rises by day. You put it out there. Don't worry about how it's going to grow. Verse 28. For the earth yields crops by itself. Now earlier, the soil represented the heart. The earth, just another word for soil. Your fancy words, your lectures or so, if you're a person like me with my kids, I guess it's a lecture. That isn't going to be what's going to matter on whether that seed grows. What's going to matter if that seed grows is the state of the heart. The earth yields the crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, and after that the full grain in the head. And many of you are farmers. When you drill that seed, you don't go dig it back up the next day to see if it's starting to grow. Or the day after that to see if it's starting to grow. Or the day after that. You drilled it. And wait till you see it poke its own blades above the ground. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts the sickle in because the harvest is coming. Now when the word takes root in it, and it's in good soil, a heart that is ready to hear it, it grows. And the harvest is not just the understanding of what you've said and the Spirit being able to work in that heart. The harvest is an understanding that there's a bigger picture than just them, that moment. But there's somebody out there that cares enough about them that they would let that grow inside their heart. This harvest can be someone getting led to salvation. This harvest could be somebody understanding even more what God's plan is in their life. Because you helped them understand a word that maybe their heart wasn't ready for before. Verse 30. Now this parable is in Matthew as well. Then he said, "To what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it?" So we've talked about the soils now. We've talked about the growing of the word. Now Jesus is, for a second, he's going to say, now let's just talk about the kingdom of God, how all of this looks when you take a step back and you look at it as a whole. It's like a mustard seed. You know, it's just a little thing. When it's sown on the ground, it's smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it's sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs. Shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. You know, Christ started with just a small group of people. Just a group of 12 and some plus that have come around with him, the families of, and friends of those that he helped. He started with something so incredibly small. You know, it'd be equivalent of us coming up with, you know, just here in this building, we come up with some idea on how we're going to handle, how we will handle dealing with somebody who has an addiction to drugs. Maybe across all of us, we come up with this idea that works incredibly well. And within 3 years of us coming up with an idea, hundreds of thousands of people are doing it. And within 100 years, a little over 1.5 million people are doing it. And in 1,000 years, well over 1/3 of the population on the planet. Such a small thing with them. And that's how the kingdom of God is. Every time we go out and scatter seed, we're making that bigger. And that little seed could hit the right life that God just wants to explode with. continue to go out and memorize a bunch of scripture. But when you do read the Word, try and hear what it's saying to you so that you get the spirit of it. So when you're helping somebody in their time of need, not that you can be the robot that can quote 25 scriptures just like that, but that you'll be ready for the Holy Spirit to use you to talk to their situation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us this opportunity to study in the Gospel of Mark, those things that we don't find elsewhere in the Bible. Lord, I ask that you continue to work on our hearts. Work at that ground. Cultivate it. Prepare it. So that when you send word to us, it takes heart. It has good roots and it grows. Lord, I ask that you open our ears, unclog, wash them out, whatever you need to do. Help us to hear and to ask to understand more. In Jesus' precious name. It's time now for our invitational hymn. Make sure I got the right one here. 495.